Lord.
Previously in A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Pamela's arrival at the party filled Craig with joy, and his proposal was eagerly accepted. Aunt Margaret was desperate to know about both Pamela and David, but learned nothing to satisfy her curiosity.
Pippa and David were discussing Aunt Margaret's nosy questions. "I'll bet I get a phone call from her tomorrow asking me all sorts of awkward questions." David placed his hands on her waist, gave her a swift kiss, then said,
"Oh, you're surely not afraid of that, Gorgon. You're a grown woman, Pippa. You've nothing to be ashamed of, and she has no right to pry into your life. You put her in her place if she does."
"That's easier said than done. I suppose I'll have to use my old trick of, 'I'm sorry, Margaret, I'll have to go, there's someone at the door.' She must be on to that one by now." They shared a subdued chuckle, and Pippa reluctantly removed his hands from her waist, but held on to them. "We'd better get back to the party. I may be able to persuade Craig to sing for us. I think he's in the right mood tonight." She had the good sense to ask her son in private, and after a slight hesitation, he agreed, provided Pam would play a piano piece first. "I can't wait to hear her. You'd better ask her." Pamela was delighted to oblige, and when she had finished Chopin's Minute Waltz, a safe popular choice, to enthusiastic applause, she went straight into the intro for Bonnie Mary O'Brien. Memories stirred, Craig stepped forward with a big grin and leant on the piano. With his eyes fixed on Pamela, he began to sing. And one song led to another. Behind him, his mother swallowed hard. Then Uncle Arthur piped up. "Come on, Philippa, it's your turn now. Let's have Roll Out the Barrel." Pam willingly surrendered her seat, and Pippa took over the community singing. As the guests were leaving, Christine offered to stay and help with the washing up. "Bless your wee cotton socks," said Pippa. "You've done enough today." David and Pamela have offered to help with that. Christine said a cheery, "OK." Then, speaking softly to Pippa, added, "I'm so sorry about what happened with Daisy. I had no idea she'd taken up with Gerald again. The wee minx kept that to herself. But don't you worry. I'll make sure she hears all about Pamela. She's much better suited to Craig." "I couldn't agree more." Christine went into the bedroom to fetch her coat, while Kevin came out and donned his in the hall. There were many thank yous to the hostess and more congratulations to Craig and Pamela. As Kevin shook hands with Craig, he spoke into his ear. "You've got a real cracker there. I hope she likes dancing. Bring her to the Locarno." "I wouldn't let her within a mile of all these Yanks." Both men laughed, hugged, and slapped each other on the back. Arthur and Margaret remained true to type, always the first to arrive and the last to leave. Arthur had already stepped outside, but Margaret stopped to shake hands with David. If you're leaving too, maybe you'll be good enough to walk us to the bus, David. We're just in time for the last one, and it's so dark out there.
Oh, I'd love to, Margaret, but I'm staying to help with the clearing up.
Normally he would not have refused his help, but he knew she was looking for an excuse to pump more information out of him on the short walk, the kind he had no intention of divulging. "I see," she said, with her neck rising up from her faux fur collar. "Oh, well, I suppose we'll just have to manage. I dare say we'll be seeing you again sometime?" The question was laden with innuendo. "Anyway, it was nice talking to you." David wasn't hypocrite enough to return the compliment, so he made do with a nod and a smile. Pippa closed the door behind her and leant on it, burst out laughing. And no explanation was necessary. By 1 a.m, Irene and John had gone, assured that the four lovers could cope. Craig and David were still clearing the dining and sitting rooms and carrying dirty plates, cups and glasses through to the kitchen, where Pippa and Pam washed and dried them. Instead of being the usual boring chores, these mundane tasks had become a labour of love, quite literally for Pippa and Craig, both brimming over with happiness. At last they had spent an evening openly with the persons they loved sharing in the celebration with family and friends. The girls were already swapping confidences as they went about their task. "You realise when you marry Craig, you'll have the same initials as me. Mind you, PS has always made me feel like an afterthought."
"And that's what I would have been, but for you."
"Don't you believe it. I'll bet there were plenty young servicemen, to say nothing of doctors, nuts about you. You certainly wouldn't have ended up on the shelf. And that would have been Craig's loss, not yours."
"Mine too. Yes, I had lots of proposals, but I just couldn't forget Craig. We had something special. I'm so grateful to you, Pippa."
And she flung her wet hands round her future mother-in-law and hugged her. "Here, mind my good dress. I definitely don't have any more clothing coupons left." Their laughter was heard by the men in the sitting room.
"Those two seem to have hit it off really well,"
said David, as he put the last glass on the tray. Craig had moved the furniture back to where it belonged and now was plumping the cushions.
"You could say the same about us."
He straightened up and looked at David, who was equally tall. "I'm so glad to have met you tonight, David. Let's have a beer." And as he poured, "I don't know why Mum didn't tell me about you sooner."
"Well, it's not exactly the ideal situation. A Catholic widow and a deserted Catholic husband. Can't even ask her to marry me until I can get a divorce. Even then we wouldn't be allowed to marry in church."
"I talked to her about that and said I thought it was a ridiculous rule that shouldn't apply in wartime. Or any other time for that matter."
"Did you indeed? And what did she say?"
"She avoided an answer. Just said how grown up I was to be thinking like that."
"She's right. When all the excitement about your engagement has died down, I'll have to discuss our problems with her. Oh, I love her so much, Craig. I've never loved anyone as much, not even Gloria. It was all youthful lust with her. But when I realised how shallow and hard she was, along with her illusions of grandeur, it soon disappeared. It was as though she was ashamed to be married to a school teacher. And I understood right off why she'd be attracted to a man of authority in a smart uniform."
"As if that matters."
"Oh, but it does. You'd be surprised."
"I suppose I used to think these things were important, until I was shot down. You've no idea how much that changed my values."
"I can imagine. But your mother's values haven't changed. You've got to remember what a good Catholic she is. She may drop me like a hot potato if I get too serious.
Now, that would be ridiculous. I can tell she's nuts about you.
Will that be enough, though?
Silence hung between them. Then David asked,
Is Pam Catholic?
No, but she used to make me go to Mass in the hospital most Sundays, even when I couldn't be bothered. She thought that holding on to my faith would help my recovery.
And did it?
A bit, perhaps. But Pam helped it much more. She knew exactly how to handle my moods. Come to think of it, Mum must know she's not Catholic. And look at all the trouble she went to bring us together. Maybe she's more open-minded these days. Before answering, David drank some of his beer, and there was another silence for a moment. Craig knew better than to disturb his thoughts. After what seemed like an age, David spoke.
It's not just your mother's attitude I'm up against. It's my own too. How can I go on seeing her, loving her more and more, if I can't marry her?
Thank you.